All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. Congressional bill says threats to national security from UFOs expanding exponentially. It's an article that we got from the Epoch Times. Welcome to the American Vindicta Show. My name is Doug Thornton. U.S. lawmakers have made references in appropriations bills and accompanying Senate Intelligence Committee report that Congress believes some unidentified aerial phenomena, or UAP, commonly referred to as UFOs, might not be, quote, man-made. Further, Congress notes that threats against the national security of the United States from these cross-domain transmedium objects. Let me say that again. Cross-domain transmedium objects have been exponentially increasing. The noteworthy admissions are found in a bill and a report included as an addendum to authorize the 2023 fiscal year budget related to America's intelligence communities. The bill seeks to modify Section 1683 of the National Defense Authorization Act for fiscal year 2022 to establish an organization nestled inside the Department of Defense tasked with an expanded scope of UFO investigation. The legislation states that the DOD would have to establish the new office within 120 days after the bill is enacted into law. The new office would replace the Pentagon's Airborne Object Identification and Management Synchronization Group, which was established in November of 2021, and replace the U.S. Navy's UAP Task Force that was formed in June 2020. To prompt the DOD into action, Congress has renamed the UAP Task Force to be Unidentified Aerospace Undersea Phenomena Joint Program Office. Quote, at a time when cross-domain transmedium threats to United States national security are expanding exponentially, the committee is disappointed with the slow pace of DOD-led efforts to establish the office to address those threats and to replace the former Unidentified Aerial Phenomena Task Force, lawmakers said in the report. The DOD UFO office expands to water domains. The new UFO Joint Program Office will continue the work of the existing UAP Task Force and had expanded the cross-domain scope that now includes space, atmospheric, and water domains. According to the bill, the Unidentified Aerospace Undersea Phenomena Joint Program Office will also be tasked with duties pertaining to transmedium objects or devices and unidentified aerospace undersea phenomena and currently known technology in other domains. That change reflects the broader scope of the effort directed by the Congress, lawmakers said in the report. Quote, identification, classification, and scientific study of unidentified aerospace undersea phenomena is an inherently challenging cross-agency, cross-domain problem requiring an integrated or joint intelligence community and Department of Defense approach. Lawmakers defined, quote, transmedium objects in the legislation as objects or devices that are, quote, observed to transition between space and the atmosphere or between the atmosphere and bodies of water, and which are not immediately identifiable. In April last year, the Pentagon confirmed that a leaked video depicting a U.S. naval stealth ship tracking a UFO was taken by U.S. Navy personnel. The short night vision video shows a pyramid-shaped flying object moving at a constant speed above and beneath the water. Lawmakers noted that the scope of the new DOD office specifically related to UFOs that are not later found to be man-made. Here's a quote. The formal DOD and intelligence community definition of the terms used by the office shall be updated to include space and undersea, and the scope of the office shall be inclusive of those additional domains with focus in addressing technology, surprise, and unknown unknowns. Temporary non-attributed objects, the report continues, or those that are positively identified as man-made after analysis, will be passed to appropriate offices and should not be considered under the definition as unidentified aerospace undersea phenomena. These notable admissions in official government documents comes at a time when cross-domain transmedium threats to the United States national security are expanding exponentially, according to this report. Pentagon officials are treating the UAP sightings with increased seriousness for their potential risk to the United States national security. The Office of the Director of National Intelligence released a report last year on the subject, commonly known as the Pentagon UAP Report, in which the Pentagon identified 144 UAP sightings from 2004 to 2021, but was only able to explain one of them. Since that report was published in June 2021, Scott W. Bray, Deputy Director of the Naval Intelligence involved in the UAP Task Force, has said that the UAP Task Force database has now grown to contain approximately 400 reports. In May, Pentagon officials showed lawmakers two videos of UAPs in the first open congressional hearing on the subject since 1966. Among the incidents shared with lawmakers were stories of nuclear intercontinental ballistic missiles rendered inoperable during a UFO sighting and footage of flying objects violating the laws of physics. Pentagon officials told lawmakers that sighting incidents are frequent and increasing, yet they cannot offer firm conclusions on the nature or intent. The sighting incidents that interest the Pentagon the most are those that exhibit, quote, flight characteristics or signature management that we cannot explain with the data that we have available, says Bray. Final quote from Mr. Bray. He said, I would say that we are not aware of any adversary that can move an object without discernible means of propulsion. Well, isn't it about time that we get back onto the UFO topics and finding a scapegoat away from the recession, soon to be depression, and the housing market, the inflation, Biden announcing the Student Forgiveness Debt Act today, and also the pending wars in Ukraine and Russia again? It seems to me, even though UFOs are one of my absolute favorite topics, it's being used as a credible scapegoat to say that there's a threat. It's always a threat to the national security of the United States, and be it either recession, terrorism, COVID, it could have been wildfires or a new Green Deal style threat with the economy, also in how our country is being affected by the natural disasters around the world with, you know, whatever it is that their scientific claims are. You know, we got the pending wars thing. They said that Trump is a national security threat, that MAGA is a national security threat. Everything is a national security threat. But let me ask you a serious question, because we know the rest of this is bullshit. Are UFOs an actual threat to the United States? Are there documented accounts within the United States government of UFOs attacking our ships, our planes, our federal buildings, our military bases, attacking our populations, dropping some sort of a dirty bomb, bacterial agent, alien weaponry, like in Independence Day, obliterating cities with one shot. Has any of that occurred? Well, the short answer is no. The short answer is no, none of that has occurred. Now, there will be plenty of people who will give you stories that they cannot back up and information that is not tangible, and then they will compound it by using people who are being abducted by aliens or people that are being carefully brought out by the government as an insider with information. I do believe people are seeing something. I do believe abductees have been abducted. I do not believe we all know the answers. And I will not believe whatever the government tells me is the most probable cause about UFOs when they themselves don't know either. Are UFOs really a national security threat? Or is it that there has to always be a national security threat to go through the next evolution of events that will be coming in our near future? Just imagine you're sitting out on your back porch one night and you see a series of lights going across the sky. Many of you have probably seen it. Many of you listening have probably some point in time in your life witnessed at least one occurrence that is phenomenal that you cannot explain. But what do you do with it? Many of you have reported it to your friends, to your family. Many of you have reported it to the authorities and law enforcement, the military. Many of you who have had the ability have taken out your phones and you videotaped it. Out of all those times, since 1947 and the Roswell crash, how many documented times has there been an attack from a UFO, from an alien species, not of this earth? Now, you can't take the supernatural and phenomena that you cannot explain and separate that from our enemies of old within the Bible. I do believe there is a connection. Somewhere along the way, somehow, for a great deception to occur. When the world is busy gnawing on their own bones, when we can't produce food anymore, when we are freezing during the winters because we have stupidly taken ourselves off of sustainable power, when our politicians have sold out their own people for an extra dollar or two. I think at one point in time when we have all gone completely digital, other things will start to occur to drive us madder. They have divided us with race. They have divided us with sexuality. They have divided us with reproductive laws that are illegal, that are unconstitutional, that are unfounded, that are made purely of sin. They have burned our streets in the names of felons. They have threatened us to go to war in the name of their own financial prosperity for oil, or to preserve a corrupt government like Ukraine. And now these same people want to tell you and me, trust us, the threat is out there. I don't trust the government. I trust the men and women that I knew that I worked with in the various different agencies because I knew them. I knew their work. I knew their credibility. I knew that when they signed the dotted line of an investigation, that they were putting their job on the line. And if they were found wanting, then those opportunities for higher degrees of investigations would slip right out of their hands. Who holds the politicians accountable? Who holds the intelligence community and the intelligence committee accountable? Where is the weighted test that shows us that the government is actually on our side and that the government is actually doing things for our benefit? I think many of us as of late would say that the government is not on our side, that the government cannot be trusted, that the government does abuse its power, it does spy on its people, it does use psychosomatic weapons on its own populace, it does kidnap people for experimental purposes. And now they tell you the UFO is the threat. Now they tell you that the UFO is worthy enough for Congress to create a new organization. That means a new funding string for hundreds of employees for this organization. And it also means a new bill to go forth to fund this agency. And what scope, under what authority, does this agency now operate in? Will they be investigators, such as 1811 special agents with law enforcement powers and privilege? Well, now they get leap pay. So that means that these guys who will come in as GS-13 investigators will get 25% of their salary, which is over $100,000, added every single year. So, do the math. They get a lot of money. To do what? To go and investigate every Instagram and YouTube video that pops up a strange light in the sky? To fly from state to state to interrogate people about what they have seen or what they have not seen? Is this going to be Operation Blue Book, Project Blue Book, all over again? Where many people will see something, credible or not, and then the government will do every bit of its power to disprove. And at what point, if we are now changing the roles, why is it that now the government at one point would say, you didn't see what you thought you saw? It was swamp gas reflected from the light of Venus. It was a meteor. It was an owl. It was a strange fire. It was all these different things that you will read in Project Blue Book. But now, they're saying the threat is real. They're saying that it is out there. That there is something man-made. But there is also something not man-made. And we need investigators. And that we need more funding. I'll tell you what. Take $20 billion that you just gave this morning to Ukraine and fund this agency with that money. But they're not going to. They're going to raise the debt ceiling and create new government agencies. But once again, under what authority? If this is a national security authority, well, then sky's the limit on jurisdiction. Now, when it comes to jurisdiction, if something were to happen, proprietary jurisdiction always falls in line. That means local law enforcement and state law enforcement has the first say. But are they going to be also along the lines of the FBI? where they are considered to be the senior law enforcement agency that will come in into any type of investigation and can take over the scene. I think we are walking a fine line of trying to prove that something exists and trying to create the existence of something that people think that they see. What a strange occurrence. We're going to go to a break. We'll be right back.
Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum has said, "You will own nothing and you will love it." And that's represented by what's going on across the planet today, where the economy of the world is in free fall, and nowhere is it more in evidence than with our own President Biden deliberately trying to sabotage what we have, access to food, other resources. So Americans are in a unique position, really for the first time in our history. We're going to have to provide for ourselves or subject ourselves to the whim of the government. Do you really trust a government to feed you that left 1,000 Americans behind enemy lines in Afghanistan? I don't think so. So where do you go? When you ask the question, who's the best prepper out there today? There's only one answer. Ready-Made Resources and Robert Griswold. I call him King Prepper, and that's how a lot of people think of him. You have everything there you'd want, from night vision to storable food, how to prepare cooking in emergency situations, books and videos on how to prepare alternative energy, communication, first aid that you wouldn't think of, natural antibiotics, you name it, Bob has it. Now, here's the good thing about Bob Griswold that no one else does but him. You don't have to buy anything to talk to him. If you're not sure where to start with your preparation, no obligation phone call directly to Bob. You can talk to him for free. Most people will charge you an arm and a leg for a half-hour conversation. That's not Bob Griswold. He cares about helping America get prepared. Go to readymaderesources.com or you can call the number directly at 800-627-3809. Again, that contact information, readymaderesources.com for the best prepping outfit in the country, or call Bob Griswold directly, 800-627-3809.
And welcome back to American Vindicta. I would also like to tell you that Mountain State Survival is still carrying plenty of the Peak Refuel food along with ready-made resources. I would ask that if you have to buy anything for camping, glamping, your survival needs, that you would please visit my two sponsors, Ready-Made Resources and Mountain State Survival. That's mountain-state-survival.com. For Mountain State Survival, if you use the 5% discount code RECKER5, that's RECKR5, you can get 5% off of your overall purchase. The economy is getting worse. The hysteria is increasing. Prepare now while you still have a chance. Project Blue Book. This was the code name for the systematic study of unidentified flying objects by the United States Air Force from March 1952 to its termination on December 17, 1969. The project, headquartered at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, Ohio, was initially directed by Captain Edward J. Ruppelt and followed projects of a similar nature, such as Project Sign. Project Sign was an official United States government study of unidentified flying objects undertaken by the United States Air Force and was active for most of 1948. It was the precursor to Project Grudge. Project Grudge was a short-lived project by the United States Air Force to investigate unidentified flying objects. Grudge succeeded Project Sign in 1949 February, and then followed by Project Blue Book. The project formally ended in December 1949, but continued in a minimum capacity until 1951. Project Blue Book had two goals, namely to determine if UFOs were a threat to national security and to scientifically analyze UFO-related data. Thousands of UFO reports were collected, analyzed, and filed. As a result of the Condon Report, which was the Condon Committee, which was the informal name of the University of Colorado UFO Project, or a group funded by the United States Air Force from 1966 to 1968 at the University of Colorado to study unidentified flying objects under the direction of physicist Edward Condon. This report, which concluded that the study of UFOs was unlikely to yield major scientific discoveries, and a review of the report by the National Academy of Sciences, Project Blue Book was terminated in 1969. The Air Force supplies the following summary of its investigations. 1. No UFO reported, investigated, and evaluated by the Air Force was ever an indication of threat to our national security. 2. There was no evidence submitted to or discovered by the Air Force that sightings categorized as unidentified represented technological developments or principles beyond the range of modern scientific knowledge. And, 3, there was no evidence indicating that sightings categorized as unidentified were ever extraterrestrial vehicles. By the time Project Blue Book ended, it had collected 12,618 UFO reports and concluded that the most of them were misidentifications of natural phenomena, clouds and stars, or conventional aircraft. According to the National Reconnaissance Office, a number of the reports could be explained by flights of the formerly secret reconnaissance planes, the U-2 and the A-12. 701 reports were classified as unexplained even after stringent analysis. The UFO reports were archived and are available under the Freedom of Information Act, but names and other personal information of all witnesses have been redacted. We are now going to go over what the National Archives has on Project Blue Book. The United States Air Force retired to the custody of the National Archives all of its records on Project Blue Book relating to the investigations of unidentified flying objects. Project Blue Book has been declassified, and the records are available for examination in the research room of the National Archives. The project closed in 1969, and we have no information on sightings after that date. The National Archives has received numerous inquiries concerning documents identified as MJ-12 and briefing document Operation Majestic 12. We have made extensive searches among the records in our custody of the U.S. Air Force and the Joint Chiefs of Staff to identify these documents. The Truman and Eisenhower libraries have also searched their holdings for any references to or copies of these documents. In addition, the records of the National Security Council for the Truman and Eisenhower administrations are in the custody of the National Archives. Searches were made of the indexes for the National Security Council's policy paper and meeting minute files under the subjects Majestic 12, Majestic, Unidentified Flying Objects, UFO, Flying Saucers, Extraterrestrial Biological Entities, and Aquarius. These searches were all negative, with the exception of a memorandum for General Twining from Robert Cutler, Special Assistant to the President. Subject, NCS/MJ-12 Special Studies Project. Dated July 14th, 1954. The memorandum is one page. It refers to a briefing taking place on July 16th of 1954. The memorandum does not identify Majestic 12 or the purpose of the briefing. This is at archives.gov. You can go on to archives.gov/research/military/Air Force/UFOs and go straight to this page. I implore everyone to do their own research. Don't take everything that I say as gospel. Read it for yourself. There was a Majestic 12. There was a meeting, a one-day taking place meeting on Majestic 12. But very few people seem to misplace with this document, this one-page document that we do not have the context for, is that similarly, in 1940s, there was one meeting that was held for only a few hours where the high-ranking members of the Nazi government came together to discuss how best to take care of the Jewish problem and to discuss the final solution. That took one day. If they were able to completely put together the tremendous atrocities that happened in Nazi Germany in one day, imagine what our government could do in one day, one meeting, about the topic of UFOs. Did they take this time to designate what the media will say and will not say? And who were the players? Most likely the CIA was involved in that with Operation Mockingbird. During the 1950s, this is the beginning of the early Cold War. This is also the time when we have numerous amounts of CIA operations that were established by our government, but the projects were handed over to Nazi scientists that we captured. And that was also during Operation Paperclip or Project Paperclip. This is a time when we are discussing Roswell. This is a time when we are discussing Majestic 12. Could this have also been part of a research program from the Nazi scientists continuing their research in propulsion and aircraft, along with the now advancing rocket engineers for the Soviet Union? Was this a cover-up for what was happening? Was this part of the spy satellite race? I have more questions than I do answers. Unfortunately, I don't have any of the answers. I can only speculate that during the 1950s, some of the most horrendous operations that the CIA ever took were started. And much of this, most of this, had to do with how the CIA and our Department of Defense used weapons for mind control, created chemical, biological weapons that can eliminate tens of thousands of people, or to make tens of thousands of people, like in a large city, hallucinate to see something. Could it have been that Project Bluebeam was a diversionary factor, much like what happened with the Bay of Pigs or the Cuban Missile Crisis, where we were using as many different things as possible to fool the American people that we needed to be into a hot war now with Russia. And why? Surely Operation Northwoods, which was a commitment from the Joint Chiefs of Staff, with a very well-rehearsed, well-coordinated, and planned-out attack upon our own bases in Cuba, and then upon our own ships and our own planes, do you not think the U.S. government would then stage an alien invasion upon our own nation? If you're going to know anything about this subject, then you got to know the goods along with the bads. I'm not here to tell you if this is real or if it's false. You make that decision up. What I will tell you is that Project Bluebeam has been one of the most hotly contested conspiracy theories going on for at least 30, 40 years now. Now, in 1994, a man named Serge Monast, who was a Canadian investigative journalist, he was a poet, an essayist, and also a little bit of a conspiracy theorist. He started to espouse a claim that NASA, with the help of the United Nations, was attempting to implement a New Age religion with the Antichrist at its head and to start a New World Order via a technologically simulated second coming of Christ. He also gave plenty of talks on this topic. Other conspiracy theorists have noted that the similarity of Project Blue Book to the plots of Gene Roddenberry's unreleased 1975 Star Trek movie treatment, The God Thing, and the 1991 Star Trek The Next Generation episode, Devil's Due. In 1995, Monast published his most detailed work, Les Protocoles de Toronto 666, modeled upon the protocols of the Elders of Zion, wherein he said a Masonic group called 6.6.6 had for 20 years been gathering the world's most powerful to establish the New World Order and to control the minds of individuals. The problem whenever we start to research UFOs, the involvement of the government, is that you will occasionally stumble down the wrong rabbit hole. Project Bluebeam, in theory, was the ability to use a satellite from geoseek orbit that could display a hologram in the air of whatever it is that they wanted you to see. Most likely, this would have been some sort of a pyramid structure, a oval plate structure, a mothership, as some will say. Doesn't have to be exact. If you did it correctly with the right lighting during the right time, you can make it appear to be very realistic, but also far enough away that you can't clearly see what it is. Is the technology really there to be able to put a mile-wide high mothership in the sky? I don't know. I'll just be honest with you. I don't know. I don't know if we have the capability. Many people with very, very little credibility will tell you that Project Bluebeam is real, that we can project all these different things in the sky, and yet when you ask them to source where they get their information from, they cannot tell you. Or they'll say something like, I'll die if I tell you, or somebody somewhere told me this. For those of us who are seeking the truth that we know is out there, this is an unacceptable answer. Is Project Bluebeam the possibility for the future to disrupt the OODA loop of Americans focused on civil war, protesting against their government? Possibly. Was the technology there in 1994? I don't think so. Is the technology there now in 2022? I absolutely believe so. Hologram technology is going so far and beyond. Soon, it will be a normal part of how you walk through and interact at a commercial building, shopping, going through the movies. Holograms, for one point in time, will be something that we will deal with, and it will be artificially intelligent. It will be limited in scope, and it will become a normal thing. That has already been worked on for various governments around the world. France, I believe, is the leading in holographic technology. Based on this article from MIT, using artificial intelligence to generate 3D holograms in real time, wrote by Daniel Ackerman in 2021. A new method called tensor holography could enable the creation of holograms for virtual reality, 3D printing, medical imaging, and more, and it can run on a smartphone. Despite years of hype, virtual reality headsets have yet to topple TV or computer screens as the go-to devices for video viewing. One reason VR can make users feel sick: nausea and eye strain can result because of VR creates an illusion of 3D viewing, although the user is in fact staring at a fixed distance 2D display. The solution for better 3D visualization could lie in a 60-year-old technology remade for the digital world, called holograms. Holograms deliver an exceptional representation of 3D worlds around us. Plus, they're beautiful. Go ahead, check out the holographic dove on your Visa cards. Holograms offer a shifting perspective based on the viewer's position, and they allow the eye to adjust focal depth to alternately focus on foreground and background. Researchers have long sought to make computer-generated holograms, but the process has traditionally required a supercomputer to churn through physics simulations, which is time-consuming and can yield less than photorealistic results. Now, MIT researchers have developed a new way to produce holograms almost instantly, and the deep learning-based method is so efficient that it can run on a laptop in the blink of an eye. So that's where we are right now with holograms. Just imagine, take this out of the science and research rooms of MIT. Apply military application and infinite funding. And yes, I believe we could bring Bluebeam to life. Project Blue Book Reference Report. Textual records of Project Blue Book, the documentation relating to investigations of unidentified flying objects, excluding names of people involved in the sightings, are now available for research in the National Archives building. The records include approximately 2 cubic feet of unarranged project or administrative files, 37 cubic feet of case files in which individual sightings are arranged chronologically, 3 cubic feet of records relating to the Office of Special Investigations, OSI, portions of which are arranged chronologically by OSI district and by overseas command. A cubic foot of records comprises about 2,000 pages. Finding aids for these records include a file list for the project files and an index to individual sightings entered by date and by location. Access to Blue Book textual records is by means of 94 rolls of 35mm microfilm, T-1206, in the National Archives Microfilm Reading Room. The first microfilm roll includes a list of contents for all of the rolls and the finding aids. Photographs scattered among the textual records have also been filmed separately on the last two rolls. Motion picture film, sound recordings, and some still pictures are maintained by the motion picture and sound and video branch and the still picture branch. The United States Air Force Fact Sheet Concerning UFOs and Project Blue Book. The following is a copy of the United States Air Force Fact Sheet distributed by Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in January 1985. On December 17, 1969, the Secretary of the Air Force announced the termination of Project Blue Book, the Air Force program for the investigations of UFOs. From 1947 to 1969, a total of 12,618 sightings were reported to Project Blue Book. Of these, 701 remain unidentified. The project was headquartered at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, whose personnel no longer receive, document, or investigate UFO reports. The decision to discontinue UFO investigations was based on an evaluation of a report prepared by the University of Colorado entitled Scientific Study of Unidentified Flying Objects. A review of the University of Colorado's report by the National Academy of Sciences, past UFO studies and Air Force experience investigating UFO reports during the 1940s, 50s, and 60s. As a result of these investigations and studies and experience gained from investigating UFO reports since 1948, the conclusions of Project Blue Book are 1. No UFO reported, investigated, and evaluated by the United States Air Force has ever given any indication of threat to our national security. 2. There has been no evidence submitted to or discovered by the Air Force that sightings categorized as unidentified represent technological developments or principles beyond the range of present-day scientific knowledge. And 3. There has been no evidence indicating that sightings categorized as unidentified are extraterrestrial vehicles. With the termination of Project Blue Book, the Air Force regulations establishing and controlling the program for investigating and analyzing UFOs were rescinded. Documentation regarding the former Blue Book investigation has been permanently transferred to the Military Reference Branch, National Archives and Records Administration, Washington, D.C., 20408, and is available for public review and analysis. Since Project Blue Book was closed, nothing has happened to indicate that the Air Force ought to resume investigating UFOs. Because of the considerable costs to the Air Force in the past and the tight funding of Air Force needs today, there is no likelihood the Air Force will become involved with UFO investigation again. There are a number of universities and professional scientific organizations, such as the American Association for the Advancement of Science, which have considered UFO phenomena during periodic meetings and seminars. In addition, a list of private organizations interested in aerial phenomena may be found in Gale's Encyclopedia of Associations, Edition 8, Volume 1, page 432 and 433. Such timely review of the situation by private groups ensures that sound evidence will not be overlooked by the scientific community. A person calling the base to report a UFO is advised to contact a private or professional organization as mentioned above, or to contact a local law enforcement agency if the caller feels his or public safety is endangered. Periodically, it is erroneously stated that the remains of extraterrestrial visitors are or have been stored at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. There are not now, nor have ever been, any extraterrestrial visitors or equipment on Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. Moving forward, let's discuss Majestic 12, or the MJ-12 Reference Report. The National Archives has received many requests for documentation and information about Project MJ-12. Many of the inquiries concern a memorandum from Robert Cutler to General Nathan Twining, dated July 14, 1954. This particular document poses problems for the following reasons. The document was located in Record Group 341, Entry 267. This series is filed by a top secret register number. This document does not bear such a number. The document is filed in the folder T4-1846. There are no other documents in the folder regarding NSC MJ-12. Researchers on the staff of the National Archives have searched in the records of the Secretary of Defense, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Headquarters United States Air Force, and other related files. No further information has been found on this subject. Inquiries to the U.S. Air Force, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the National Security Council failed to produce further information. The Freedom of Information Act Office of the National Security Council informed the National Archives that top secret restricted information is a marking which did not come into use at the National Security Office until the Nixon administration. The Eisenhower Presidential Library also confirmed that this particular marking was not used during the Eisenhower administration. The document in question does not bear an official government letterhead or watermark. The NARA, or N-A-R-A, conservation specialist examined the paper and determined it was a ribbon copy prepared on Diction onion skin. The Eisenhower Library has examined a representative sample of the documents in its collection of the Cutler papers. All documents in the sample created by Mr. Cutler while he served on the NSC staff have an eagle watermark in the bond paper. The onion skin carbon copies have either an eagle watermark or no watermark at all. Most documents sent out by the NSC were prepared on White House letterhead paper. For the brief period Mr. Cutler left the NSC, his carbon copies, which were prepared on prestige onion skin paper. The National Archives searched the official meeting minute files of the National Security Council and found no record of a NSC meeting on July 16, 1954. A search of all NSC meeting minutes for July 1954 found no mention of Majestic 12 nor Majestic. The Judicial, Fiscal, and Social Branch searched the indices of the NSC records and found no listing for Majestic 12, MJ-12, Majestic, Unidentified Flying Objects, UFO, Flying Saucers, or Flying Disc. NAJA found a memo in a folder titled Special Meeting July 16, 1956, which indicated that NSC members would be called to a civil defense exercise on July 16, 1956. And finally, the Eisenhower Library states in a letter of the Military Reference Branch on July 16, 1987, that President Eisenhower's appointment books contain no entry for a special meeting on July 16, 1954, which might have included a briefing on MJ-12. Even when the President had off-the-record meetings, the appointment books contain entries indicating the time of the meeting and the participants. the Declassification Office of the National Security Council, has informed us that it has no record of any declassification action having been taken on this memorandum or any other documents on this alleged project. Robert Cutler, at the direction of President Eisenhower, was visiting overseas military installations on the day he supposedly issued this memorandum, July 14, 1954. Upon his return from the trip, the memorandum is dated July 20th, 1954, and refers to Cutler's visits to installations in Europe and in North Africa between July 3rd and the 15th. Also within the NSC staff papers is a memorandum dated July 3rd, 1954, from Cutler to his two subordinates, James S. and J. Patrick Cohn, explaining how they should handle NSC administrative matters during his absence. One would assume that if this memorandum to Twining were genuine, Laird Cohn would have signed it. Okay, so before we move on to the final thing, let's just discuss what they're talking about in this document, all right? Majestic 12 was the meeting of high-ranking government officials within the military and within the intelligence branches, possibly a senator and the president and vice president. They were obviously meeting to discuss what? UFOs. So if this had anything to do with the knowledge that they were had been gained from the late 1940s on the German Wehrmacht air propulsion technology and advancements, like that of the nuclear research that was then starting to take place. Could this meeting have been to ratify what to do in the instance that the Nazi super weapons that they were working on, the Wunder weapons, were then somehow transferred to the hands of the Soviet Union? If so, then that means now the Soviet Union would possess weaponry that the United States Air Force would not know how to handle. Got to understand, from the 1940s, our reports in the military stated that the Foo Fighters, which was the UFO objects that our fighter pilots were seeing, they were considered to be of German technology, German vehicles. There's not a lot there. And once again, the problem with this is that when you go to investigate anything, you should really try and find as many formal documents as possible. Now, there are always things that are going to be relatable, that people really do more research into, and they get key witness testimony. Follow those paths. They should lead you to a promising place. You have to understand that with disinformation at the same time, people are paid not to tell you and are paid to tell you another story. They're not paid to tell you the truth. They're paid to tell you another story. What is the point of this? The point that I'm getting to is that I believe at this point in time, our military, our government, we had just dropped the atom bomb, the advances in jet propulsion and rocketry, like the V-2, V-1 guided missiles. These weren't just, you know, launched at London. These were also capable of being launched from submersible vehicles like submarines. With the America Bomber Project, there was over 1,000 different weapons and vehicles that were in the process within the blueprints of being created, and many were already created, and that was to carry out a level of destruction to America that is on par with what we did to Hiroshima and Nagasaki and their target was New York City. So you don't take that type of a threat and then put it on the back burner. You take that type of a threat and the commitment that the Nazis had, and you have to remember going forward that this weaponry was out there, the availability of the technology was out there, and we really don't know what all the USSR was able to accomplish in confiscating weaponry, technology, chemistry, and scientists. We do know that the USSR actually completely confiscated entire laboratories and office buildings and broke the entire laboratory down and brought it back to Moscow and then recreated the laboratory and forced the Nazi scientists to continue with their experiments. These things are now declassified and known about. The extent to what they did is not. The extent to what they were able to achieve was not. But we do know that within the rocket race, we lost. The Soviets got to the geosync orbit first with Sputnik. So could this explain Majestic 12? Was Majestic 12 originally about the super weapons that the Nazis had that now the Russians possibly had possessed? And if so, what were they monitoring? What were they observing? What were the extents that they would go through to not allow Russia to deploy such weaponry within Europe? Is that why Majestic 12 was put together and then the meeting notes destroyed? Or was it for UFOs and for the threat of UFOs? According to Project Blue Book in the United States Air Force and the Department of Defense, from 47 to 69, UFOs posed no threat to the national security of the United States. Why is it that now our government is saying the exact opposite? We know recently from all the different eyewitness testimony, the video evidence that has come out, that there are strange balls in the sky of different light moving at speeds and maneuvers that are incapable for a human to perform, and that they harass our planes, they harass our warships. They're seen all over the world. There are USOs, the underwater UFOs, and now we have different explanations for different kinds of UFOs. Then the government comes out and releases the abduction papers, a manifesto talking about the seriousness and the side effects of the exposure to UFOs and to those abducted. Where do we go from here? I'll let you carry that thought out. Remember, not everything that you see is real. Not everything that they say is false. Sometimes within the lie, there's a bit of truth. And sometimes the truth is made by making everyone else believe in a lie. That is the deception that we are going through right now. I know this can be confusing. It confuses me half the time I go to read this stuff. But there is something there within this story. This is not a soup missing the meat. The evidence is out there. They will come forward with more. I believe the more hectic things get, the more the UFO, the alien extraterrestrial threat will come out. It'll be just like what Ronald Reagan and George H.W. Bush said. if there is a threat coming from outside this planet, would it eventually pull us all together to work together as one? I'll let you decide. My name's Doug Thornton. This is the American Vindicta Show. Stay frosty.
In our obsession with antagonisms of the moment, we often forget how much unites all the members of humanity. Perhaps we need some outside universal threat to make us recognize this common bond. I occasionally think how quickly our differences worldwide would vanish if we were facing an alien threat from outside this world. And yet, I ask you, is not an alien force already among us? What could be more alien to the universal aspirations of our peoples than war and the threat of war?
All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.